And we're going to use a scripture in the Old Testament for a majority of this teaching today. And you may say, well, that's not the gospel. Yes, it is. You're going to see Jesus. I look at the Abrahamic covenant as the promise of Jesus. I look at the Old Testament beyond the Abrahamic part of it in Genesis as a picture of Jesus. And then in the New Covenant, what do we get? Grace and truth in the person of Jesus. So we can see Jesus throughout this. Now, Romans 1:16 tells us that the gospel, which is what? The good news about Jesus, is the power of God unto salvation. And what does salvation include? Not just a ticket to heaven, but it's an all-encompassing thing. It's healing, prosperity, welfare, benefits. And so what I believe the Lord has asked me to do today is akin to what he asked the disciples in Mark 5. They were gathered there. Jesus had been teaching. And the disciples, it says Jesus felt compassion on them. And so he turned to the disciples as they were talking about him being hungry. And he said, you feed them. Now, what were they going to feed them? They couldn't see how. Well, today, what I believe the Lord wants you to partake of is the bread of life, his word. And that's what I want to sow to you today. So he said, give them something to eat. And so that's what I'm doing. So I want to start by reviewing a few scriptures. And so if you'll head to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, I want us to look at some scriptures so that we will see before we really get into this that I believe will bring healing to your body. Because the word says, you know, if you want to learn about healing, then you study healing. But we need to realize that the word tells us that all his word is healing to us. And that's what we're going to start with here. And this is actually, I believe, the scripture that was used about 3 years and 3-4 months ago when we started healing school. Trey, I believe, was teaching this. So you're in Proverbs and I'm not. So let me get there. Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and we're going to start in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now let me just make a statement, stop here, and I'll probably say this again. Anytime he says, give attention to my words, we need to do it. Because those words are promises to you. Those words are promises, and they're still active for us today. Then he says, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That tells me that this is something we need to do every day. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? In teaching us how to pray, give us our daily bread. So we need to be fed by the Word of God every day. That's how we stay strong. And then it says, for they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Let me pause there and ask this question. Are his words life to everybody throughout the planet? What does this verse say? Look at it again. This verse says, for they are life to those who find them. This says to me, we've got to be seeking him, and in doing so, open up our heart, because he says, when you seek me, I will be found. So I want you to see that just because we say words does not mean they're going to come to pass in our life. It's what's behind those words, what we're believing about those words from this relationship we have with him. So he says, for they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. And notice he's not saying that the words that are health to your body are just scriptures that are about healing. All of these words are. Why? Because his word is life. He came as life and light. And I believe you can interchange those. He came as grace and truth. So his words, all that Jesus has said, and the word incarnate, him, meaning what the scripture has been put together for you and I, provides life to us. Back up a chapter to chapter 3. And let me just read 1 and 2 and start there. My son, do not forget my teaching. Now, if he's telling us not to forget this, what does that imply? that we can forget it. How do we not forget it? By getting it down in here. You may have a verse come, when you know you've got verses inside you, you may not be able to recall verse and or book and chapter and verse, but that verse will come up in you, and you will hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's when you're getting it down inside. So, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, side comment here. You can hear, but the best way to get it inside and keep it there is by doing what it said. Do I need to say that again? In other words, being obedient to the word, doing, being a doer of the word is really important. And look what verse 2 says, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And then skip down to verse 8 for time's sake. It will be, what is it talking about? His word be what? Healing to your body, or to your bones. Healing to you. And refreshment to your bones. So here we've got two. Now let's go to Psalm 107. And on the way there, while we're going to one Psalm 107, let me just mention one other one that we're not going to look at. And it's in Psalm 119, verse 50, which says, your word has given me life. Your word has given me life. So here we're going to be looking at three or four witnesses. And I want to start reading here in verse 19. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Now, when we see this word cried in the Old Testament, it doesn't mean that they cried with tears and everything. It means they were speaking out to him. They were asking him for his help. So I don't want us to think about every time we see crying out that somebody's on there begging their knees. They're just simply approaching the Lord with their request. And then it goes on to say, he saved them out of their distresses. So what does that imply? They cried out and he saved them, so it says he heard them. Now what do we have the promise in 1 John? That if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And we know if he hears us, we have those things that we're asking of him. So we're seeing this exemplified in the Old Testament. And look what verse 20 says. He sent his word and healed them. And if you feel like you've got something that has attached itself to your body that's about to deliver you into destruction, don't stop there. Declare this one. And delivered them from their destructions. So we have promises in the word that his healing is manifested through the word of God and not just the words of healing. Now I want you to look, before we really get into this, at 2 Peter 1. Do you ever have scriptures that you just kind of get hooked on? It seems like every time you open your Bible, it's one of those you look at. It can go on for months sometimes. This is one for me. 2 Peter 1. Let's just start in the first verse. We're going to go 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Is that you and I today? Yes. And how do we do it? By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that faith is not by something we did, but it's a faith that was put in us because he was made righteous and he made us that way. And then look what it says. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Now, if grace and peace is multiplied in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, how do we get the knowledge of him? Well, Jesus told the folks, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So how do we see Jesus? In his word. And it's just that simple. So we see Jesus in that word, and then we believe that grace and peace is going to be multiplied to us. Verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted or given to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Does that include healing? Everything pertaining to life and godliness? Yes, it does. How? How is it given to us, granted to us? Through the true knowledge of him. There's that knowledge understanding His word, having received it, who called us by His own glory and excellence. And then verse 4. For by these He has granted to us His great and precious promises, or some translation, my translation says, His precious and magnificent promises. Precious and magnificent promises. Now, what were we just singing about? Standing on His promises. Standing, believing on His, if a promise, what is a promise? A spoken word from the Lord or a written word. So that's what we're standing on. So we're standing on these promises in order that by them we might become partakers. Partakers. We might share in His divine nature. His divine nature. As He is, so are we when we get to heaven? No. So are we when we get real smart and we get more religious? No. As are we today, the way we are. Do you know that you became an overcomer the minute you were born again? 1 John tells us that we overcame, that greater is He who's in us than he that's in the world. So when did we get greater and become an overcomer? When we got born again and when He came into us. If the devil can't stop you from getting born again, there's no way he's going to stop you from being healed. And he would have stopped you there well before he would have attacked you healing-wise. So we become partakers of this divine nature. So now let's begin to talk about praying. Earlier this year, we taught a little bit on prayer. And we looked at James 5:16. You don't need to turn there, but the end of that verse says, depending on which translation you read, my translation, New American Standard, I'm teaching you from today, says, the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. King James says, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. I don't know about you, but I can pray fervently all day long, and if I don't get the answer I get, if my prayer is ineffective, I'm not going to be nearly as satisfied as when I pray to Him in the way we're going to be talking about today, and my prayer is effective. In other words, it brings the results that we want. Now, He gave us an example for that right afterwards. He talked about Elijah. So we talked about and looked at Elijah. It said Elijah prayed in that manner. So how did Elijah pray in that manner? Let me just simplify it. He heard the word of the Lord saying, declare it's not going to rain. And you know what he did? It's not going to rain. That was his fervent, effective prayer. So it's not about our physical emotion. It's about what's in our heart and standing on those promises that we have taken as ours. So with that then, and using Jesus as an example in the Psalms, I want you to go to Psalms 2. Psalms 2. We had the good fortune to be at the beach the last week of August. And for 4 days, 5 days really, I did not get out of this 8th verse. So let me read it to you. And there's only, I think, one word difference between King James and New American Standard. So I'm going to just use my New American Standard. But verse 8 begins and it says, ask of me and I will surely give. And the Lord stopped me right there. And for 2 days, that phrase went through me over and over and over again. Now think about this. This is Jesus talking, and you'll see that in a moment. But ask of me, and I will surely give. Do you see the magnificent promise that's there for you and for me? Ask of me, and I would surely give. I would just encourage you, meditate on that a while. Ask of me, and I will surely give. Now, what he's asking for is to be given the nations as his inheritance. And that's important to you and I because that's what includes you and I. and the very ends of the earth as your possession. So this is a prayer that's important to us. You know, let me just digress a minute. For me, those first few days was just that phrase, ask of me and I will surely give you. And then the Lord began to ask me, what are you asking for? For me personally. And I must say, I had to really re-examine what I was asking for. And I spent several days doing that. And then on the final couple of days there, he asked me, what is my body at High Point Church asking for? Now, Trey mentioned this Sunday morning for those of you who come to High Point on Sunday. But I think we're out of them, but Bruce Macon prints some more if you want one before you leave. But he has put together, we put together, several of us, this document that says what we ask. What is my body at High Point Church asking for? I shared this at a leadership meeting, and we began to talk about it. And it really, I think, hit Trey, and he said, look what he's asking us. So we begin to really seek God. What do you want us asking for? And you know, most all these things are promises that we have in the Bible. They are things, if I can say it this way, that are at our disposal. Or how about this? They're there for our asking. But what are we asking for? Now, with that background, I want us to go through this psalm. And I want to go back and start in verse 1, and I want to read through it. Because about 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks ago, the Lord put this psalm on my heart, the whole thing, in praying for our nation. You know, Timothy tells us that perilous times will come. Let me caution you, perilous does not mean impossible. And if we look around our city, our state, and our nation, we don't even have to go outside the U.S., we can see things going on that we know where we can see the enemy arrayed against us. And so this psalm, he began to put on my heart to pray about things that are going on in our country today. And so let's go through it. Verse 1, why are the nations in an uproar? King James says, why do the heathen rage? And why are the peoples devising a vain thing? Or another translation, I believe it's King James, says, why do they plot in vain? Now, if I asked you, is this what you see in our nation this summer? And particularly these last weeks, I think we would all agree. Is this what we have seen somewhat in our city with all the opposition to righteousness? Let's say it that way. Now, again, the question comes, is this something that's valid for us to pray? Do you remember the prayer that was prayed in Acts 4? Where Peter and John had just been questioned by the leadership of the church there. And they finally found their own company. Let me just read you how this prayer they prayed starts. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God in one accord. One passion is what that literally means. And listen to what it says. Lord, is it thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them? And by thy Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? Then it goes on and says, the kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together. And look who they were gathered against. Against the Lord and against Christ. And so if I say against Christ, that would be the same thing as saying, and against your anointed. Well, go back to Psalms 2 and look at verse 2. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together. Now, we know today that our foes are not flesh and blood, but they're those principalities and rulers of darkness in the high places. And so I believe this verse is also talking about them, because people would not be anti-Christ if it weren't for an anti-Christ spirit. That's what's motivating them. So he's talking about that in this verse. And then the third verse says, let us tear their fetters apart and cast their cords away. What they are saying is, we don't want to be ruled by the principles of the kingdom of God. We want to do our own thing. And there's other scriptures that talk about the latter days, and we're going to see more of that as they become lovers of self in their own ways that are, and it lists a bunch of bad ones. So in these first three verses, it's talking about, I believe, what we see going on in our world today, here in this country, here in this state. So the question then is, if it's coming against the Lord and His anointed, could we say that's coming against the body of Christ and what we stand for? So do we see things today being chipped away at, trying to take away things that the Lord has taught us for years and years that have become foundational principles for us? Yes, we do. So what is our reaction to them? Well, our reaction ought to be the same as our Father. Look at verse 4. He who sits in the heaven laughs, and the Lord scoffs at him. Now that says to me, when you watch the news, you should not get worrisome or fearful of what's going to happen if. I look at the news. I want to be informed. I want to know how to pray in some cases. Can you look at it too much? Yeah. If you look at it too much, what you feed on, you'll eventually become. But this is what we ought to look on. He who sits in the heavens laughs. So when we see these things and we see the ridiculousness of things that are happening sometime, laugh at them. Amen. Ha, ha, ha. It doesn't have to be a gut-wrenching laugh. Just laugh out loud at them and scoff them, because that's what your Lord is doing. Now, why can we do that? Because He's given us some promises, and I don't know that I gave these to Robert, but in Isaiah 1, the 26th verse, He says to us, I will restore your judges and your counselors as they were in the beginning, that you may be called a city, or let me say it this way, a place of righteousness. Now what that says to me is, He's given us a promise as pertaining to our nation, let's just start at that level, that His desire for us is that we have righteousness ruling in this country. That's a promise we have that we can stand on. In Proverbs 29:2, He says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. So we see rejoicing, but we also see rage. And we know rage is not of the Lord. It's anger just magnified. So we have promises that allows us to take this scripture and pursue it with the Lord. Then verse 5 says, then He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury. That day is coming. And then the Father, I believe, is speaking in verse 6. And look what He says. But as for me, I've installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. That is the anchor to your soul, because that is Jesus on the throne, and He's not coming off of it. So just say with me, Jesus is my king.
Jesus is my king.
And Father God
has set him
on His holy mountain. That's a good confession for you. That will build up your faith as you say it. That will overcome confidence. Now, where are we seated then? Ephesians 2, 5 and 6 says we were raised. We were made alive. We were raised. And verse 6 says we were seated with Him in the heavenly places. Now, why is that important to us? Because that puts you and I as His anointed that they're coming against, in that place of authority today. Amen. You may say, Lord, speak to them and stop it all. Authority has been given to you and I. We know it's the Lord's desire to heal our country. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us that. And it doesn't start with the heathen. It starts where? With us and the church. So let it begin here, Lord. Let it begin here. And you'll see some of those things that have been put into the what we pray part that we talked about earlier. And then the speaker changes, I believe, in the next verse. And Jesus says, I will surely tell of the decree of my Lord. So what is Jesus saying here? What decree is he telling of? What decree is his declaring? He's declaring in verses 7, 8, and a couple more, what the Lord has already spoken to him. We might say he's praying the Lord's words. But notice how he's praying them. He's not praying them, oh Lord, I beg you, please do this. He said, I am going to decree the decree that you gave me. That's you and I today. Then he goes on and says what he said. He said to me, Hebrews 1 quotes this, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. I personally believe in Hebrews when he says that, those are the words that the Lord used when he raised him up from the dead. So Jesus is saying what the Lord said he was going to do. And let me just ask you, did it come about? Verse 8 then that we talked about earlier. Look what comes next. Ask of me and I will surely give. So if we are his anointed in the earth today and evil forces are arrayed against our nation, which was founded upon God and is coming against this nation and its anointing, who is being attacked? We are. So it's time for us to be asking so that he will surely give. Now let me talk about that word ask for just a minute. In the Hebrew, its English spelling is S-H-A-A-L, Sha'al, and it means to inquire, literally. And this is straight from some concordances and some expository dictionaries. It implies to request. And don't freak out on this next one. But what it's literally saying is, I'm demanding this to come about. Now, we're not demanding something that we want. We are going to God and requesting or demanding that the performance of what he said be watched over and come to pass. We have a word in the Greek, the word that's used for ask most of the New Testament, aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. Literally has the same meaning. So let me give you an example of what that means. You would not go to the bank when you wanted $100 cash. You wouldn't go to the bank and write out a check of your checkbook and demand that Miss Lillian give it to you. But if you had that money in your bank and you write a check and you go to the bank and present it to them, what are you doing? You're making a demand on what is yours. Do you see these promises as yours that we've been talking about? Because we need to see these promises, and you're going to see in a moment the healing promises, in the very same way. And look what he says, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. Now, that day on the beach, when the Lord took me beyond, ask of me and I will surely give, he said, are you a joint heir with Jesus? And I said, yes, sir. He said, are the nations your inheritance? Are you asking for them? So what is he doing? We as the body of Christ ought to be pursuing the same things that Jesus pursued when he made this decree. And what are we doing? Lining ourselves up with what he said. So we ought to see ourselves and the people in this nation as our inheritance, as a part of the body of Christ, as a part of his body here on this earth today. Now this psalm goes on and it talks about what's going to happen in that day in the next verse when people just don't respond. And they're going to be broken with a rod of iron. And they're going to be shattered like earthenware. This is not the will of the Lord for people. What is his will? That all should be saved and come to the knowledge. But there is a judgment day coming if they don't what? If they don't find, as we saw early on. Verse 10 says, now therefore, kings. So we might say, now therefore, as rulers of darkness. And we might say, those who are working with the rulers of darkness and orchestrating negative things against our country and God's foundation. Therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. So what do we see there? The heart of God. That they turn from their wicked ways and turn to Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 doesn't talk about them doing the repenting first, though, does it? It talks about us doing this. And part of the repenting we need to do is not being in line and not being as bold as we need to ask for these things that we're talking about here. And then verse 12 goes on and says, do homage to the Son, lest He become angry and you perish in His way. And then it reminds them, for there is a day coming, for His wrath may be soon kindled. And then look how it closes. How blessed are all those who take refuge, or I might say, put their trust in Him. That's you and I. So, let me just quickly give you an example that we're going to build on of how we might pray this. Father God, You've told us that it is Your desire for us to rejoice as we have righteous people ruling. So we just declare right today, righteous people rule this nation. You also told us, Father, that You would give us judges and counselors, which I take to mean senators and those in positions of authority, who are also righteous, that we might be called a righteous city, a faithful people. So, Father, we just call upon You today and say, take note of the way they're raging. I ask You, Father, to speak to those, and we speak to those forces of darkness in the heavenlies, and we say, shoot Your arrows and cause confusion. Send Your lightning to disperse them. Break them up, Lord. Break them up, Lord. Notice how they're taking counsel against You, but we say what You said. They will not overcome, and we laugh at You. And so, Father, as we laugh, we can laugh because You have set Your king in Zion. Our hope, the anchor of our soul, is the King set on the throne, our Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we're going to pray as Jesus did today. We're going to declare the decree of what You said about Your people here in this nation. And then we begin to ask Him those things that we want to see. Now, someone may say, and I'm just hearing the Lord say this, someone may say, how often do I need to pray this? Because we talk a lot about praying and believing that you receive when you pray. We want to do that. But when you are praying for yourself, for a matter, and it's between you and God only, then you can pray and you can stand on that. But my suggestion is when your prayer involves the will of other people, pray them over and over and over. So there's a difference there. So this is not a one and done. This is something that we ought to continually be praying. And I'll tell you, as you pray these things, He's going to bring additional verses to you that He wants you to declare. Now we might end this prayer, as I have, saying, Lord, I ask for the souls of these people that are creating this. The ones that are raging, the ones that are ruling, that are not righteous. I ask that You take the veil away from them. Open their eyes that they may see. Send laborers across their path. But you see what we're doing in doing this? We are decreeing His word, the promises that we already have over our country. Now, let's shift gears. Why should we pray concerning healing any differently? I asked the Lord when He told me to do this because I kept hearing teach this, and I thought it was for a Wednesday Bible study I do. And then finally, He said, look, Thursday. And so, okay, I got it. And as soon as I said I got it, I turned to Him and I said, so give me then, Father, Your word for these people who are here today that You want me to decree over them. So I've got six scriptures that I want to look at with you, and we got plenty of time to do it. The first two came like that. The rest of them came at 2:15 in the morning, early Tuesday morning, 2:15. When you wake up and your spirit is in peace, and you know you're just not waking up because you can't sleep, turn your heart to Him. That's when I get and hear most of the stuff from the Lord a lot of times, is when I'm at peace and when I'm just waking up. So, where we're going to start, a decree we're going to declare over ourselves, is in Isaiah 53, verse 10. And this was the first one that came. I can remember when I first saw this verse. I didn't say that remember when I first read it, but I remember when I first saw it. And I'm going to read it to you out of the New American Standard. It's very similar to this American Standard Bible that's on the screen. It says, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief." Some translations say, "But it was the will of the Lord to bruise him, putting him to grief." Grief there is the word means sickness. Now think about that. It was the Lord's good pleasure to bruise Jesus, or to crush him. And that's actually what that word literally means, to crush or to bruise. So let's talk about crush first. What did Isaiah early in the chapter said? That he wasn't recognizable as what? As a man. That's how much he was crushed. Give you an example of that. We've been talking about communion, and we were talking about grapes and the communion elements, be it wine or juice. How do you make grape juice? You squeeze it. You crush it. What does it lose? When you crush it, it loses its identity as a grape. This is what he's saying happened to Jesus. He lost his identity as the sinless, because your and my sins were put on him. Now notice that this sin is tied to putting him to grief, which is talking about sickness, spirit, soul, and body, all three of those. Okay, you say, well, it also said that... about stripes on his back or bruises. The word bruise there literally means blue whelps. So if you beat somebody with something, what would you see across that area that you beat? Those bruises. And that takes us to the second scripture that he gave me. It's 1 Peter 2:24, which you know well. By his stripes you were healed. And so these are the two promises that we have. And I'm going to urge you, as you have time when you're praying about things, ask the Lord first, what are the promises you want me to stand on? Now, if it's urgent, you're going to go with what's down in your heart, and that's what's going to come out. And you're going to tell real quickly, is it fear or is it faith by what comes out? But ask the Lord, seek Him, how do I pray about this? He will show you this every time. So these are the first two scriptures. Now, that night, he took me to John 17:23, which Minton's translation says, the Father, this is Jesus declaring this now. This is his words, not mine. And I want to look at the last phrase, that you, Father God, love me just like you love Jesus. I didn't mean in the same manner as. Just like he loved Jesus. Are you saying that he doesn't love Jesus more than he loves me? Yes. Don't have to think about it. Meditate on that. That is the foundation of the relationship we have. For God so loved that he gave. That is the foundation of who we are in Him. That is our identity. This is what we can decree because he loves me that same way, and he values me just like he values Jesus to speak his words, which is what we're talking about, praying his words. The next scripture was the one he asked me earlier in Romans 8:17, where he said, we were joint heirs with Jesus. You are not a joint heir with Jesus that died on the cross. You've been made a joint heir with the resurrected Jesus.
Amen.
So you don't need to be identifying with all your sins and all the diseases that we all have come against us that he took on the cross. That's not your identity. Your identity is the resurrected, the risen Jesus. I mean, get that in your head. Your identity is the same as the one sitting at the right hand of God. That's why we can be seated with him. What does the right hand of God represent? The place of authority. That's why we're seated with him, because that's the plan he has for this world today, in that place of authority that you and I are in this earth. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. It shall. Why is it going to come to pass? Just because I decreed it? No, because I'm a joint heir with him. I'm loved like he loved Jesus. And he said to me, go. The authority that I have, you go in that same authority, just like he did with the disciples. And the next one he gave me was Romans 8:37, which says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, what is a conqueror? Nikeo, or Nikeo, N-I-K-A-O, which is where the word Nike comes from. What is a conqueror? Someone who is victorious. We're more than conquerors. What is more than a conqueror? That is one who gets to revel in and enjoy the benefits of the conquest that somebody else did for you. I'm guessing, I haven't talked to him about this, but we both listened to Keith Moore, and I've heard him use the example, and I believe I remember Pastor Trey using it. Evander Holyfield was a boxer, and he won a world championship. He was conqueror. He was the victor. His wife, she had the checkbook. She was more than a conqueror. Folks, that's what we're doing today. That's why we can take that check that has promises on it, associated with it, and present it at the throne of God, because Jesus' conquest has made you and I more than a conqueror. And then finally, we referred to this one earlier, 1 John 4:17. No, it's not finally. There's one more. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we today. My identity is not with just Jesus on the cross. My identity with the cross is that my sins were laid on him, that he might make me righteous. But the final thing that the Lord showed me was in Mark 16:18, where it's talking about what believers do. And in this verse, it said, believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that's what the Lord gave me to share with you, so that as we wrap up this day of healing school, what I want to do is I want to pray these verses over you. But he also told me to do this. So let me just get you to close your eyes, because I want to see if what I saw in the Spirit matches. I believe it will. What he said was to ask you who out there today has a need to receive something from Him in a physical healing or a soulish realm healing? Okay? And what he asked me is for those of you who do that to come and sit along this front row here. So if you raised your hand, would you exercise your faith and put your faith into action by coming and sitting here? And if there's not enough on this row, then go to the side over here. That's the side I saw people sitting on too. Okay? So just sit along that front row. And if we run out of room, we will make room. Now before I pray this, come on, Jesse, you can go to the other side with us. That's fine. So I'm going to ask Robert and Trey if they feel led. I heard the Lord tell me to do this. Please come down here and pray with me, because this is not about Minton. It has nothing to do with Minton, except he's made me the one who said, feed him my word today. Now, before I pray, did you have something?
Yes. It's your Bible. It says the same thing. Something the Lord dropped in my spirit when Minton was over in the second psalm. The phrase where it said, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. And the Lord said to me this, you know how you know when you know you're seated in heavenly places? When you start laughing. Because it says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. So if you know that's where you're seated, at the right hand of God, and your identity
glory, glory,
is established in that, it's going to change your altitude. You notice I said altitude. Not just your attitude, because your attitude will change your altitude. But it's also true that when you change your altitude, it'll change your attitude. Amen. So it'll cause you to start laughing. So I think that's something we should do as well.
Go ahead.
In doing that. No. You go ahead and do your part, and then we'll laugh at the end. Praise God.
Okay. So I'm going to pray this, and after we do it and laugh, then we're going to come down and lay hands on you. And the reason I encouraged you early on is because you must receive it. So, Father, right now we come to your throne of grace, and we come to take mercy and receive grace to help in this time of need. Lord, we're not ashamed to come because we've got needs. This is why we're coming. And this is why we can come boldly, because you said you are the God of mercies. So we're coming to take healing mercies from you today. So Father, we're going to decree these things that you have said concerning us. These are your promises today that we're going to stand on. Father, you said through the prophet, that it pleased you to bruise Jesus, to crush him. It pleased you to do that, and I thank you. So I decree today that those words that you decreed then are just as active today as they were then. And I thank you too, Father, he's just reminding me of this, that you created everything by words. And the words that, the things that you created by words, they still respond to your word today. And sickness that was perverted, you must respond as well. Father, we thank you that you love us just like you did do Jesus. That you've elevated us, you've raised us up you've seated us there with Him. Father, I thank You that what is Jesus's is mine. And today, just as the Scripture said, Jesus is loved and He's healthy and He's at great peace. And so are we in Jesus' name. Father, You've made us more than conquerors. So we're not trying to obtain this. We're coming to take it because we get the benefit of what Jesus already did. And we receive it now in Jesus' name. As He is, so are we in this world. Therefore, I declare right now Your word concerning Your holy Son, Jesus, my brother. I declare it over these people. By the stripes of Jesus, Your beloved people are healed. They've been made whole in their body and in their soul, just as they've already been made whole in their spirit. And we receive it today, and therefore we laugh. Rejoice in it. Ha, ha, ha. Rejoice in it. Thank You. Ha, 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 ha. Blessed be Your name, Lord. 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 Blessed be Your name. 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 Now, I want to share one thing with you. On Wednesday nights, where we've been sharing things with each other that the Lord gives us, I'll use her name because she's received a healing and testified. Julie King came up and said, I see a tree over you. And Julie came up and said, yeah, I see it too. Only what I see is fruit is just popping on it. It's just coming on it. Fruit is coming on it. That fruit is not about me. That fruit is You receiving Your healing today at this church. That is what we are asking for. So that is the expectation that I want you to have. Now what I saw, Robert and Trey, was us just going down the line together and didn't see long prayers. I'm going to tell you, the healing presence of God is here. And it's almost as if I look up that I can see healing angels sitting on that balcony. That's my expectation. I'm not thinking about what if somebody doesn't get it, what are they going to think of me? This isn't about me. It is about Jesus and His word to you, whom He loves, just as the Father loved Him. Okay?